Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Most of us, whether or not we are Christians, understand the significance of Dr. Richard Weaver's 1948 book, Ideas Have Consequences. Long before Dr. Weaver wrote his literary masterpiece, the Bible had expressed the same truth in many passages. For example, Solomon wrote, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. The same author wrote, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23:7. If we plant evil thoughts in our hearts and cultivate them, they will produce an evil harvest. On the other hand, if we desire to be virtuous and honorable, we must meditate on the true, the lovely, the honest. Philippians 4:8. The Bible clearly recognizes the grave dangers involved in wrong thinking. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Matthew 16:23. The word savor in this verse is from the Greek phroneo, which means to think, to be minded in a certain way. The word implies moral interest or reflection, not mere unreasoning opinion. If we can become like Christ by thinking like Christ, why can we not become like Satan by thinking like Satan? Satan would delight in guiding and controlling our thinking. He does not care what we profess so long as he can control our thoughts. Satanism has to come from a certain mindset, just as all other worldviews come from a certain mindset. But why do people have that mindset? Why can people endorse Satanism? Who is responsible for promoting satanic thinking? Ultimately, the devil himself is the power behind our turning away and walking away from God Almighty to obey the voice of Satan. God desires that we should think like Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. The devil wants us to rebel against our Maker and to follow him in every phase of our lives. Unfortunately, there are millions and millions of people who are doing that, either consciously or unconsciously. The roots of Satanism in our culture are many and varied. Satanism does not just happen accidentally. It has to come from some kind of roots. In the beginning of the creation, God announced a law which has not been altered or abrogated. Like produces like. This is sometimes called the law of biogenesis. "After his kind" is the biblical expression of this law, Genesis 1:11 and 12. Wheat seed does not produce corn, nor corn seed wheat. Every animal and every plant and mankind produce after their kind. It has always been so and will be so till the end of the world. The principle which says that like produces like also applies to the spiritual realm. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Hosea expressed the same truth very succinctly and very powerfully. "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Hosea 8, 7. When Satanism is sown in our culture, it will take root, at least with the unstable, the ignorant, and the rebellious. Death and destruction have resulted from the sowing of Satanism. Satanism has been sown through men's and women's dabbling with the occult, such false beliefs as astrology, tarot cards, Dungeons and Dragons, psychic phenomena, necromancy, mediumship, black and white magic. Thousands of Americans, perhaps even millions, are attracted by the power of some of the occult beliefs and practices. Television is vigorously promoting the psychic hotline and your own personal astrologer. Handsome Hollywood actors and beautiful singers and actresses are daily encouraging Americans to call a 900 number to learn about their future mates, solve their financial problems, social and business problems. My friends, this is rank superstition, but dangerous superstition. And it is a short step, sometimes a very short step, from these occult practices to honoring and worshiping Satan. I'm not saying, because I do not believe, that everyone involved in some phase of the New Age movement is worshiping or ever will worship Satan. But there is a grave danger of being led through occult practices to full-fledged Satanism and to other dark and dangerous practices. Occult leaders such as the Englishman Aleister Crowley have been involved in some phases of Satanism. Aleister Crowley was certainly one of the most corrupt and thoroughly evil men who ever lived. Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, was influenced by Crowley. Burton H. Wolfe, who wrote the introduction to LaVey's The Satanic Bible, and who himself is a Satanist, had contact with Satanists. Page 10. He lived in the same house with Gene Dixon, the leading psychic of our day. Page 12. He later became a card-carrying member and subsequently a priest in the Church of Satan, a title he shares with many celebrated persons. Page 13. Please remember that like produces like. When young people or older ones understand that the media, many academic institutions, and even some liberal churches are teaching many of the same ideas being promoted by the Church of Satan, it is not a long step from such understanding to the acceptance of Satanism. LaVey's book, The Satanic Bible, says very plainly, Satanism represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Do we not hear the same message, perhaps a little less blatantly, on television, in many popular songs, and in many American classrooms? LaVey says that Satanism represents man just as another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who, because of his divine spiritual and intellectual development, has become the most vicious animal of all. Page 25. Evolutionists almost certainly do not mean to promote Satanism, but the final outcome of their anti-God and anti-Christian message amounts to that. In some ways, evolutionism promotes Satanism. A number of years ago, a song with the title, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, was quite popular. The tragedy of our days is that hundreds of thousands of our children and young people have never been loved or are inadequately loved. They come from broken or terribly disturbed homes. Jerry Johnston's book, The Edge of Evil, The Rise of Satanism in North America, tells the story of a young woman named Danielle from Kansas City, Missouri. These are Danielle's own words about her fascination with and her entrance into Satanism. I was abused by a mother who was abused and had a bad family situation. My parents divorced when I was 9. Jerry Johnston asked Danielle when she actually got into Satanism. She explained that she was about 13. He then asked if there were any books which especially influenced her. She replied, The Witch's Bible and the Satanist Bible. She was involved in a seance at Blue Springs, Missouri. They slaughtered a cow, ripped its heart out while the cow was still alive. She became involved in a Satanist group in Oak Grove, Missouri, a small rural town east of Independence, Missouri. pages 23 through 26. Other young people become enamored by Satanism because they are looking for fun at any cost. Drugs, unquestionably, are associated with young people's entrance into Satanism, and they're continuing in it. Jerry Johnston tells the story of Steve Newberry of Joplin, Missouri. Steve was into drugs. The young people did pot, barbiturates, cocaine, amphetamines, and whatever they could get in the little town of Joplin. Steve's friend decided while they were all in a psychology class that they were going to kill Steve. You may remember reading about four college boys who took baseball bats and beat Steve Newberry to death. When asked why they had committed such a brutal crime, one of the boys replied, "We wanted that experience." Page 32. If men are just animals, as LaVey says, why not have that experience or any other human beings choose? Jerry Johnston asked one of the boys involved in the killing of Steve Newberry what had led up to the killing. He answered, "Before then, I got into drugs, and I'd get kicks with thinking about death. I always had this obsession about killing. I'd shoot a bird and then get excited about tearing it up." Jerry asked the boy, "Does Satan answer your prayers?" He said, "Sure. I had money and drugs. I'd get them in real surprising ways. We were always praying for demons, but they never came." Page 33. How sad that some of our young people have such perverted minds and appetites. There is no way to establish a definite cause-effect relationship between liberal religion and the rise of Satanism in this country, but I have absolutely no doubt that such a relationship exists. How could it be otherwise? If young people or older ones grow up in a church which denies the inerrancy of the Scriptures, the deity of Jesus Christ, the great miracles of the Bible, and many other fundamentals of the faith, what kind of foundation do such people have? If they have taught that Satan does not exist, they are intellectually and theologically ready to commit themselves to Satan when he is presented to them by a smooth talker, such as Dr. Michael Aquino, the founder and the high priest of the Temple of Set. There really is one way, and only one way, to prevent our young people's acceptance of Satanism or other occult practices: convincing them of the truth of God's Word. If our young people can be taught about God, about His Word, and about the evils of Satanism, the great majority of them will reject these devilish practices. Obviously, there are no guarantees, because we are all free moral agents. But there is little likelihood of a person who is well-schooled in the Word of God turning to Satanism. Parents and religious leaders need to get through their heads that everyone worships someone or something. Paul spoke of the Gentiles who knew God, but glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. They changed or exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Romans 1:21-23. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Romans 1:28. Later in the Roman letter, Paul made it very plain that everyone worships someone or something. "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" Romans 6:16. If we want to stem the rising tide of Satanism, we must fill the hearts of our people with the inspired Word of God and bring them into His kingdom. As most of us know, if we have thought much about it, modern music has promoted Satanism. Virtually every person who is a part of some satanic cult was lured in that direction by heavy metal or some other radical form of music. I'm aware that such criticisms have been made against music by almost every generation, but never before, at least not in the history of the United States, has music been so vile, so vulgar, and so satanic. Some heavy metal music groups actually worship Satan, and make no bones about it. Jerry Johnston's book, The Edge of Evil, The Rise of Satanism, includes a number of excerpts from newspapers and magazines discussing the influence of heavy metal music on the growth of Satanism and other occult practices. The Salt Lake City Deseret News of Salt Lake City, Utah, on May 8, 1986, made the following comments. Among the 50 requirements to join the Church of Ozzy and the Devil were worship of the rock group Black Sabbath and the KKK, participation in perverted sex, taking drugs, burning crosses, killing 666 people, killing your grandmother and mother, and biting off your dog's head. Page 64. Obviously, some of this is pure bluff and hype, but it is still scary and dangerous. How could any human being ever publicize such moral stupidity? The Charleston Daily Mail of Charleston, West Virginia, May 5, 1988, wrote as follows. Most professionals involved, that is, in studying Satanism, agree that there is one thing to tie the students together, heavy metal music. Some of the groups supposedly followed by the youngsters are Motley Crue, Black Sabbath, AC/DC, and Iron Maiden. Page 65. Parents who allow their children to listen to these bands and similar ones are preparing the way for a great number of heartaches. They may even be paving the road for the destruction of their own children. Parents, listen to your children's music and know about the bands they go to hear. The Reader's Digest published an article on shock rock. The article discussed a rock group called Venom, whose message is spelled out on the album cover. We are possessed by all that's evil. The death of God we demand. We spit on the virgin you worship and sit at Lord Satan's left hand. What unspeakable blasphemy. No wonder millions of America's young people are involved in every evil, from rape to drug abuse to mayhem. Young people who listen to these weird bands cannot keep from being influenced by them. Even good homes cannot overcome the influence of such music and musicians. Bob Larson, a popular religious talk show host, wrote a book in 1989 which he called Satanism, The Seduction of America's Youth. Bob Larson quotes Dr. Carl Raschke, director of the University of Denver's Institute of Humanities, saying, "You might say heavy metal music is to self-styled Satanism, what gospel music is to Christianity. Very few people get converted to Christianity just by listening to gospel music on the radio. But heavy metal is a very powerful reinforcement. It legitimizes the nasty stuff the kids are already into." Page 72. Let me return to Jerry Johnston's book, The Edge of Evil, for just a moment. Jerry's book includes a pamphlet which was distributed at a Motley Crue concert. Phil Gamble, age 15, received the pamphlet entitled The Power of Satan. Please listen to that pamphlet. "Dear member, welcome to the good times ahead. First off, Satan and his organization would like to thank you for showing faith and solidarity. We are sure that through our mutual help of one another, we will defeat the diseased minds of the priests and of the churches and temples of the world which seek to slander our mighty Lord Lucifer. Eventually, our mighty leader Satan will regain his position of prominence. Those who help in our crusade will be rewarded handsomely. Your every dream will be fulfilled. Those who work against our master will be punished. In all our years of research of the different ways to make contact with Satan, Our experience has taught us that the most effective way is as follows. First, you must get yourself a table which will serve as an altar. Next, you need a sword to lay on the altar. Use a long knife if no sword is available. Next, you need a chalice or goblet filled with wine. Next, you need a parchment or piece of brown paper if commercial parchment is unavailable. Do not kill an animal if none is available. Next, you need a black candle. As far as clothing is concerned, it is definitely preferable to wear a black robe. If black is unavailable, simply get any color and dye it black. Pages 34 and 35. In less than a year from the time of the Motley Crue concert, the following article appeared in the Monroe County Evening News in Carleton, Michigan. Lloyd Harold Gamble, age 17, was shot and killed in his home at Otter Creek Road about 11:30 on Sunday. Monroe County Sheriff's deputy took a 15-year-old boy into custody at the scene of the shooting. The youth had called the department to report the shooting and was still on the phone with dispatcher Carolyn Pitcher when the detectives arrived at the house. The 15-year-old was Phil, the victim's brother. As he talked with the dispatcher, Phil said he expected his parents home at any minute and he would kill them if the police did not stop him. 3 days after the incident, the parents called the police to report some items they had found hidden in a green vinyl sack in Phil's closet. The bag contained a dark blue candle, a long black robe and a hood, a silver chalice, a glass bottle of red liquid, white parchment paper, and 11 Motley Crue, Black Sabbath, and other heavy metal groups' cassettes. Page 35. Under the rug in Phil's room, the parents had found the Power of Satan pamphlet, a sword, and a paper pentagram cut out. Page 35. A retired police captain who was consulted in the case made this observation about Phil Gamble, the 15-year-old murderer. This wasn't a spur-of-the-moment murder. It was cold and calculated. I believe he thought he felt he was doing his brother a favor by killing him. He was elevating him to a higher consciousness. He had mentioned those exact words to the police dispatcher. Page 36. How abominable are the fruits of Satanism? In closing our discussion on Satanism, there is one more very vital area I need to examine for just a moment. How can parents know if their children are involved in Satanism? What are the signs parents need to look for? One very clear sign is when a youngster begins to withdraw from any family activities. The child prefers to eat by himself, stay away from all church activities, and isolate himself from all family outings. There are many other signs which would give parents a clue as to the child's involvement with Satan worship. Let me read some other signs from Pat Pulling's book, The Devil's Web. Pat Pulling is a nationally known expert on the evils of Satanism. She has appeared on CBS's 60 Minutes, CNN's Larry King Live, Geraldo, The Oprah Winfrey Show, and others. She lost her only son, a 16-year-old, to devil worship. He left a suicide note telling his mother and father that he had become as evil as Adolf Hitler and the Antichrist. He said he had been summoned to commit murder and could not bring himself to hurt anyone else, and so he had to end his own life. Page 5. Pat Pulling gives a list of behaviors for which parents ought to look if they suspect their child might be leaning toward a devil-worshipping cult. I shall read most of these without comment. Obsession with occult entertainment. That would include such activities as Dungeons and Dragons, tarot cards, and Ouija boards. Second, minor and major behavior disorders. Third, committing crimes and status offenses such as running away from home, grave robbing for the purpose of removing bones and body parts rather than jewelry and other valuables. Breaking and entering to steal religious artifacts or small, worthless items to prove loyalty to the group. Defacing public or private property with occult graffiti, such as Satan rules, Satan is my master, 666, and inverted pentagrams. Self-mutilation. Cutting and inking in tattoos and otherwise injuring self and threatening to kill self or others. Suicide attempts. Aggression toward family, teachers, and authority figures. Contempt for organized religions. Supremacist attitudes. That is, that they are members of an elite group better and more powerful than most Americans. Kidnapping or assisting in kidnapping. Animal killing and mutilation for the purposes of ritual sacrifices and drinking blood. Murder for purpose of ritual sacrifices. Suicide pacts among members of the group. Page 38. Obviously, some of the signs can be found in almost any teenager. For example, thousands of teenagers run away from home or are aggressive toward their families, teachers, and other authority figures. But when these behaviors are grouped with more bizarre practices, such as wearing all black clothes, having black candles in the room, displaying inverted pentagrams, the matter should not, in fact must not, be ignored. Our children are too precious for us to allow them to become Satanists or to belong to any other destructive group. My friends, we thank you for listening to our studies on Satan and Satanism. We shall follow these by two lessons on demonology. May our God help us to fight the devil with all our might. We thank you for listening, and may God bless you.